We now move to part 3, epilogue. Chapter 17, The Joyous Will. The association of will and joy may seem surprising, because the will has generally been considered something stern, exacting, forbidding, denying, particularly since the Victorian period. Yet the act of willing can be, and often is, intrinsically joyous. In order to realise this, it is necessary to have a clear conception of the nature and the various aspects and manifestations of joy. But there is not yet a coherent psychology of joy, because a scientific psychology of what Maslow aptly calls the farther reaches of human nature, of being values, or even of true health, is only now in the process of emerging. The pursuit of happiness is considered and is proclaimed in the American Constitution as a right, but rarely is a clear definition given as to what happiness means. It is understood in various and divergent ways by different individuals and groups. It would be well worthwhile to develop a science and technique of enjoyment. Maslow hinted at this when speaking of the being values. He said, "Why not a technology of joy, of happiness?" Elsewhere, he lists among the being values fun, joy, gaiety, and humour. While it is not possible on this occasion to give the psychology of joy its due, a preliminary clarification can be offered for the better understanding of the joy of willing. One can say that enjoyment is the concomitant and the result of satisfaction of a need, of any need. Thus, for each of the levels of needs described by Maslow, there is a corresponding kind of enjoyment. The result of the satisfaction of the basic needs can be called pleasure. The general subjective state of a person whose normal needs and desires are at least temporarily satisfied can be called happiness. The result of the fulfillment of the higher needs is joy. The goodwill is joyous. It creates a harmonious, joyful atmosphere, and acts of goodwill will have rich and sometimes amazing results. Altruistic, humanitarian activities give deep satisfaction and a sense of fulfilling one's true purpose in life. As an Eastern sage has said, world tasks are like fires of joy. Finally, the full transpersonal self-realization, and even more the communion or identification with universal transcendent reality, has been called bliss. At this point, it is important to recognize that there is no fundamental incompatibility between satisfaction of all these needs and consequent enjoyment. Enjoyment of the higher needs does not exclude the enjoyment at all other levels. There might be, and there often are, conflicts, crises of adjustment and growth. But they are temporary stages in the process of growth, of self-actualization and self-realization. Because of the multiplicity of human nature, of the existence in us of various and often conflicting subpersonalities, joy at some level can coexist with suffering at other levels. For instance, there can be the joy of mastering an unruly subpersonality, although the subpersonality itself may experience this as painful. Also, a vivid anticipation of a future world achievement or satisfaction can give joy even while one feels pain. St. Francis said, "So great is the good that I am expecting that every pain to me is joyous." At a less exalted level, this is true of athletes and particularly of mountain climbers, to whom the joyous prospect of the intended world achievement outweighs the physical hardships and suffering involved. Since the outcome of successful willing is the satisfaction of one's needs, we can see that the act of will is essentially joyous, and the realization of the self, or more exactly of being a self, whose most intrinsic function, as we have seen, is that of willing, gives a sense of freedom, of power, of mastery, which is profoundly joyous. This is true at the level of the personal self, but the realization of the transpersonal will, the expression of the transpersonal self, is so intensely joyous that it can be called blissful. Here we have the joy of the harmonious union between the personal and the transpersonal will. The joy of harmony between one's transpersonal will and those of others, and highest and foremost, the bliss of the identification with the universal will. The mystics of all times and places have realized and expressed the joy and bliss which are inherent in the union of the individual will with the universal will. Underhill says, "The enhanced will, made over to the interests of the transcendent, receives new worlds to conquer, new strengths to match its exalted destiny." But the heart too here enters on a new order, begins to live upon high levels of joy. That is the sea of delight, the stream of divine influences. This consummation is vividly expressed in the Sanskrit saying, Satchit Ananda, the blissful awareness of reality. And finally, in the triumphant affirmation, Aham Evan Paran Brahman, I am indeed the supreme Brahman. End of chapter 17.